Hey there, welcome to the program. It's Gary Zimak. Great to be with you here on this Tuesday, this rainy Tuesday in southern New Jersey. We've got a good show for you today. Today we celebrate kind of a sad occasion, but it's a memorable one nonetheless, the Passion of St. John the Baptist. We'll have special mass readings to commemorate the fact that St. John the Baptist was not afraid to speak his mind. He was not afraid to this is a bad choice of words, but to literally stick his neck out, considering he was beheaded. That's kind of a weird way to phrase it, but that's the phrase that comes to mind for his beliefs. He was not afraid to let his Christianity show. He was sent to proclaim Christ, and he did it right up until the end. So we'll talk a little bit about him when we do the daily mass readings. Also, we'll feature an interview with speaker and author Randy Hain from the Integrated Catholic Life. He recently blogged about joyful Catholics, and the title of the blog post was, "Oh, Joyful Catholics, Where Are You?" You ever feel like that sometimes? Maybe you're someone who feels that you're not as joyful as you should be, and you want to get some of that joy that Pope Francis talks about all the time. I think it's a very valid point, so we're going to address that on the show today. Let's begin in prayer, and then I want to give you some news to make sure we're all caught up with news. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for giving us another day. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for blessing us in so many ways, starting with the fact that you created us and you sustain us, Father. So many times we take this for granted. We take for granted the fact that each breath that we breathe is a gift from you. So we thank you for all of these gifts. We ask you, Father, to strengthen us, to grant us some of the courage that John the Baptist had so that we can go out and boldly proclaim our faith, especially when it's difficult. Father, we ask you to help all of our brothers and sisters suffering with the flooding in the Houston area right now. Please alleviate their problems. Let the rain diminish so that the situation can get back to normal and the cleanup can begin. And just grant them the grace that they need to get through this. We also ask you to have mercy on the souls of anyone who has died in the flood and grant peace to their families. We lift up all of our own personal intentions, whatever they may be. We ask you, Father, to help us with whatever needs we have. We know you could do a better job handling our problems than we can, so we're going to give them to you. We also, Father, ask you to bless our priests, our religious, our deacons. Please increase vocations. Please put an end to abortion in the world, and please bring about peace all throughout the world. I ask you, Father, to speak through me on the program today, to speak through me so that your message can go forth from my lips. And we ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lady Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. And Saint John the Baptist, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. I'm Gary Zimak. Thanks for hanging out with me here on Blog Talk Radio. And just as a reminder, I don't always mention this, but you can get this show on iTunes and TuneIn Radio as well. So you just look for the Gary Zimak Show. You can find it in any of those places. All right. I told you, I think it was yesterday, that I've been really slacking in the beverage du jour department. There was a time when I had top-notch beverages every day on this program. Well, I've been slacking. So for that, I apologize. Today I've got one, something that I don't know if I featured on the show before, but we are going to go with this right now. What's really cool, you can't see this, as I'm recording this program, I can see myself in the mirror, and this beverage matches my shirt. Now that's a clue, but since you have no idea what color shirt I'm wearing, it's not going to help you any. Today's beverage, here we go. That is very good. A little bitter, but very good. Need to take another sip. That can be so annoying when people... Man, that is bitter, but good stuff. To me, that can be so annoying sometimes when people take these extended sips of coffee or whatever. Everybody seems to be doing that on their videos on YouTube nowadays. I'm doing it on my podcast, but I was doing it before anybody else was doing it, so just keep that in mind. Your buddy Gary was annoying you with this. even before anybody else did it. Okay, the beverage du jour today, raspberry lemonade. That's what I have. Now, it's a kind of a bitter taste, but it is very, very good. I like it. Refreshing. And yeah, I'm wearing a raspberry-colored T-shirt today as I tape the as I record the program. Again, this is radio, so you're not going to see that. All right, let's get to serious matters. Thank you for tuning in. Look, I bring up the beverage because I get comments about my beverages all the time. I want to keep this informal. I want you to know that I'm a real person. I like to have one of these beverages. I used to do snacks on the show. It was a disaster. I did it only a couple of times before the calls came in and said, hey, would you stop chewing in my ear? So I'm not dumb. I want you to listen to the show. Coming up September the 4th, that is this Monday, Labor Day, Total Consecration. Preparation for Total Consecration to Jesus through Mary begins right here, seventh consecutive year. I call it the best of the best. I'm going to use several different preparation methods and read the meditation each day on the air. I've got a gazillion books involving preparation for total consecration to Jesus through Mary. If you're not sure about it, hang out with me later in the week, probably Thursday, maybe Friday. I'll devote another program to exactly what you can expect. But essentially what it is this. You listen to the program as normal. You download the podcast. Half of the show, 15 minutes, will be devoted to total consecration. So what I'm going to do is we will still do the daily mass readings. And then the interview segment, I will devote to total consecration. I'll give you some thoughts, some meditations for the day, some things to think about so that you can learn about Jesus, the Blessed Mother, learn about yourself, learn about total consecration. And then on October the 7th, which is 33 days after we start, on this Monday, September the 4th, then you have the option to consecrate your life to Jesus through Mary. I'll give you the little formula that you read. I'll make sure I put it on my blog. This is one of the best things that you can ever do. If you've never done it before, consider doing it. A lot of times, you need a book to do it. We don't need a book. It doesn't cost you anything. You don't need a book. All you do is sit and listen to me for 15 minutes. If you could stand that, you'll be fine. And I'm just going to lead you through it. This is the devotion popularized by St. Louis de Montfort. It's a great devotion. And what you're really doing is giving the Blessed Mother permission to turn you into a saint. You're asking Mary to draw you closer to Jesus so that you can make it to heaven one day. The Church approves this devotion. St. John Paul II was such a believer in this devotion. It changed his life. And look, if the Church is offering us this is my theory, why not take her up on the offer? Why do you try to do it by yourself? And then imagine this. You're standing in judgment before the Lord. We're all going to be judged one day. Here's your little news flash. We will die one day, you too, and you'll be standing before the Lord, and you'll be judged. What would you say to him when he says to you, listen, you didn't do too well. I'm not so sure you're getting into where you want to go. How come you didn't take advantage of what the Church offered, such as total consecration? Now look, not to put pressure on you, but that's a good question, isn't it? Why not take advantage of this? Give it a try. Even if you're not sure that you want to go ahead and consecrate your life to Jesus through Mary, and believe me, we got 33 days to talk about this. You'll find out a lot about it. You, on October the 7th, can say, no, what? No, I'm not doing this. I don't feel comfortable. And then you don't have to do it. But just go through the process anyway. You have nothing to lose. You'll learn something along the way. And even if after you make your total consecration on October the 7th, you could still rescind it simply by going to the Lord and saying, Lord, take it back. I changed my mind. That's perfectly acceptable. No sin, no problem. Consider that. September the 4th, Monday, total consecration. Obviously, I believe really strongly in this. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing it. We will go right through the weekends. That means there'll be a podcast on Saturday and Sunday as well. I'll do 15 minutes on Saturday and Sunday. I can't do a full 30 minutes, but we'll do 15 minutes. So I will go 33 days straight. I am renewing my total consecration once again. I really do it every day, but the formal renewal I do every year. This is the seventh year that I've been doing it. I've led thousands of people through this, and I hope that you will be one of them. This year, tell your friends, this is the easiest way to do total consecration. You don't even need a book. So give it a shot. That begins on Monday. Also, don't forget my podcast, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. Available now. Just go to followingthetruth.com and click on the image. That'll take you there, and you will be able to get access to it right away. of course, this show and my morning show, Spirit in the Morning. You can listen to so much of me that it'll drive you crazy. If you don't like me, I don't recommend you do that. But I tend to be all over the place, so I strongly recommend that if you like what you hear here on the program, then you check out my website, followingthetruth.com. Find out more information about my work. Okay, does that sound good? Let's get on with the daily mass readings. Now, again, today is the memorial of the passion of John the Baptist. We recognize his death and celebrate, tough word, maybe commemorate would be a more appropriate word. But in a sense, we do celebrate the way that he heroically gave up his life for the Lord. The first reading is from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 1, verses 17 through 19. The word of the Lord came to me thus, gird your loins, stand up and tell them all that I command you. Be not crushed on their account, as though I would leave you crushed before them. For it is I this day who have made you a fortified city, a pillar of iron, a wall of brass against the whole land, against Judah's kings and princes, against its priests and people. They will fight against you, but not prevail over you, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Giving up your life for the Lord, it's a tough thought. Most of us, when we hear that, we cringe, especially when we think about John the Baptist being beheaded. But that's what we're all called to do. Are you willing to give up your life for Jesus Christ? It doesn't mean you will suffer a violent, bloody martyrdom. But what it means is you're called to make a commitment to live for Christ. It means that he comes first. Do you put him first in your life? Are you in situations sometimes when people will start to criticize the Catholic Church and you back down because you're afraid? I've been there. I still struggle with that sometimes. It still can be difficult for a coward like me to deal with that. But if you ask the Lord for the grace, and this is where the Holy Spirit can help you. The Holy Spirit, one of his gifts is the gift of fortitude. The Holy Spirit can help you to be able to overcome this. Just make sure you ask for that strength, that grace, to be able to stand up in the same way that John the Baptist did. And again, it doesn't mean you're going to get murdered for your faith. What it means is that somebody's going to laugh at you sometimes. Somebody's going to get mad at you, maybe curse at you. You see it all the time on social media. Or just looking at something today where somebody's just trying to put some positive statement out there about the Catholic Church, and all of a sudden, the people who have been hurt in many ways, and I'm not doubting this, there are a lot of people who do not like the Catholic Church. And a lot of it stems from the actions of very flawed, very sick individuals who did a lot of damage. And that's really hard to deal with, because the minute you mention anything Catholic, you get the child abuse people coming out to attack the church. And guess what? They have a legitimate point. But we have a legitimate point as well. We have a more legitimate point, in all honesty. Christ founded the Catholic Church. He founded the church based on the leadership of people who are very fallible and who commit sins. Just take a look at Judas if you have any doubts. So we can't just discount the whole church. The church is our way to heaven because of the actions of a few individuals who did irreparable and harm and did very, very nasty and unimaginable things. I mean, that's true. You can't deny that. But there is a church, and we have to defend that church, because that church, the Catholic Church, was founded by Christ. And the Catholic Church is our way to heaven. It's challenging sometimes, so you need to get a thick skin, and the grace that the Holy Spirit can give you will help you there. Psalm 71, I will sing your salvation. In you, O Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame in your justice. Rescue me and deliver me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge, a stronghold to give me safety. For you are my rock and my fortress, O my God. Rescue me from the hand of the wicked. For you are my hope, O Lord, my trust, O God, from my youth. On you I depend from birth. From my mother's womb you are my strength. My mouth shall declare your justice. Day by day your salvation. O God, you have taught me from my youth until the present. I proclaim your wondrous deeds. You know, take your salvation, take your strength, your protection. Get it from the Lord, that fortress. The church is your fortress in times of trouble, in times of difficulty, even when you have to say something that's unpopular. You're not going to be able to do that yourself, because as human beings, we can be very weak. This is where the Lord and his church can help, just as John the Baptist was helped and was able to legitimately not back down, even when threatened with death. The gospel today comes from Mark chapter 6, verses 17 through 29. Herod was the one who had John the Baptist arrested and bound in prison on account of Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip, whom he had married. John said to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." Herodias harbored a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but was unable to do so. Herod feared John, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man, and kept him in custody. When he heard him speak, he was very much perplexed, yet he liked to listen to him. She had an opportunity one day when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers, his military officers, and the leading men of Galilee. Herodias' own daughter came in and performed a dance that delighted Herod and the guests. The king said to the girl, "Ask of me whatever you wish, and I will grant it to you." He even swore many things to her. "I will grant you whatever you ask of me, even half of my kingdom." She went out and said to her mother, "What shall I ask for?" The mother replied, "The head of John the Baptist." The girl hurried back to the king's presence and made her request. "I want you to give me at once, on a platter, the head of John the Baptist." The king was deeply distressed, but because of his oaths and the guest, he did not wish to break his word to her. So he promptly dispatched an executioner with orders to bring back his head. He went off and beheaded him in the prison. He brought in the head on a platter and gave it to the girl. The girl, in turn, gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. Here's an example. John pointed out this relationship, this immoral relationship between Herod and his current wife. He pointed it out, and it ended up costing him his head. Now, I would ask you, are you willing to be criticized? Are you willing to be persecuted in some way, not violently always, but are you willing to stick your neck out for Jesus Christ, who suffered and died on the cross for you? I'm going to let you think about that. And then as you go through the day, tomorrow and the next day and the weeks to come, think about the many times that we all do it, back down, because we don't want to offend anybody, because we don't want to look stupid, because we're not sure we know enough about whatever religious topic is coming up. Think about that. And maybe think back in the past how many times you did back down. What do? Do you feel bad about it? No. What you do is you ask for the grace. "Lord, from this day on, I ask for the grace to be as courageous as John the Baptist was." And guess what? The Lord's going to give you that grace. One way that you can obtain grace like that is with the help of the Blessed Mother. That's why total consecration is just what you need. Think about that. September the 4th, it all begins here. All right, I'm going to get out of here for a little bit. When we come back, Randy Hain will join us to talk about, oh, joyful Catholics, where the heck are you? I'll be back at the end of the show to wrap things up. You are listening to The Gary Zimek Show on Blog Talk Radio.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. When John Kitna hung up his cleats after 15 years as an NFL quarterback, he not only went back to school, he went there to teach. Specifically at Lincoln High School, the same one he'd attended while growing up in Tacoma, Washington. Lincoln is in a high poverty area these days, and many of the students are potential dropouts. That didn't trouble John, though. "Give me your toughest students," he said, and he got them. Since his football career earned him $20 million, John didn't turn to teaching because he needed the money. He did it for love of the profession, and because he loved seeing students go from outright failure to the honor roll. He describes teaching 3 algebra classes as his dream job. "To see lives changed," he said, "that is something." This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
Are you joyful today? Do you sometimes seem to lack joy?
there is, I mean, I personally believe this is a major problem among Catholics. Well, we're going to be joined now by Randy Hain. Randy is the president of Servium Partners Consulting and Coaching. He is he actively serves on a number of nonprofit boards in the Atlanta community. He's also the senior editor for the Integrated Catholic Life, which he co-founded in 2010. Randy also is the author of several books about the Catholic faith. He's a convert. He came into the church in 2006. He's a good friend, and it's good to catch up with him once again. Randy Hain, good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
I am wonderful. Thanks so much for coming on the show to talk about what I think is a phenomenal article that you recently posted on Integrated Catholic Life, Randy. Oh, Joyful Catholics, Where Are You? Randy, it's a real problem. Why do you think it is that there seems to be oftentimes a lack of joy among Catholics?
Well, you know, I think as I just think about my own busy life, you know, there's so much going on. We're always in the business world. We're in meetings. We've got emails coming at us. We've got social media distracting us. We've just got the world surrounding us. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be over dramatic, but I think it just sometimes crushes the joy right out of us if we allow it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yet we're not called to suffer through that. We're called to be joyful as Catholics. So I wrote the post to encourage the readers to really think about the different ways that we can respond to that pressure and really be the light of Christ and share that joy to others.
And one of the points you make, in fact, you open the article with this point, is that you believe that one of the greatest obstacles to evangelization with others is that many of us have forgotten to be joyful. And I agree with you there. If we're not joyful, why should somebody listen to us about Christ, right? I mean, they want what we have. If we're miserable, they're going to think, well, why should I be a follower of Christ?
Well, you know, you and I have talked about this over the years. One of the areas I feel called to ministry is, you know, integrating faith and work.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't always start out my conversations at work with, you know, I'm Catholic and you should be too.
Right.
What I try to do is reflect the light of Christ and let people see that I'm happy. And I find that often they will ask me, you know, what's going on with you? There's something going on.
Right.
I want to know what that is. And it gives me a chance to talk about my faith. So evangelization can start with a smile on your face and how you act and speak to others.
Randy, do you always have to feel the joy to be able to show it?
You know, that's a great question. You know, I think sometimes if we're not feeling it, we need to sort of question why we're not feeling
yep.
it. But we're called to do it anyway. So even though we're having a lot of challenges, you know, St. Paul was prolific in his writings and always talking about, at the beginning of his letters, how he was suffering from something. He was in prison. He had been beaten. I mean, he was always talking about the challenge, but then he went immediately to, but we are overjoyed.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And if we look at the life of Paul, if we look at the life of the lives of the early Christians, especially in the Acts of the Apostles, we see a lot of joy there. But when we look at the circumstances of their lives, we think, wow, why? Why were they joyful, right? I mean, there's obviously, there's a bigger picture, isn't there?
You know, there is. You know, and I think it would behoove all of us to reflect on the early life of the church. I mean, to be a Christian in the early centuries was really about martyrdom. It was about persecution. And yet, the church thrived and grew because this small band of Christians really, despite all of that, shared the love and joy and what they were called to do by Christ. So I think it's interesting to think about what they had to go through versus what maybe we have to go through today, which sometimes is not nearly as bad. And I don't want to overlook our brothers and sisters in the Middle East,
correct.
But you and I in America have a very easy time of it, quite frankly, and yet we sometimes feel gloomy, and we need to think about that.
And Randy, if we really think about it, for the most part, our joy is oftentimes dependent upon external circumstances. And if we really think about what Christ is offering, he's offering us an alternative to that. He's saying, well, you can be joyful even in the midst of adversity. I find that very attractive and appealing.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. And you make a great point. As I said at the beginning, you know, the culture, society surrounds us with distractions.
Yep.
And yet if we keep our focus on him, he's shown us the way. if we'll just focus and concentrate and pray throughout the day, we can ignore those distractions and keep our eyes on Him if we wish.
Now, you mentioned in this post, and we are going to have this linked at spiritinthemorning.com because it's such a great blog post. You mentioned four simple actions that you personally try to follow in your daily life in order to maintain your joy. You want to talk about those for a little bit?
Absolutely. And they're very simple, but they've been very profound and helpful for me over the years. The first is to surrender to Christ every day and recommit to put Him first.
Wow.
The second is give up my burdens to Jesus in my daily prayer. I'm inclined to pride and all those things that a lot of men sometimes struggle with, yeah. But I can't go it alone, and I need His help. The third is just be grateful for my blessings and my challenges, but just to be grateful and express that gratitude in prayer. And then the final is something I give in my talk sometimes, is the idea of starting with the end in mind. Mm-hmm. And picture yourself before Jesus one day at the end of your life, and Him saying to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And then ask yourself, am I living the kind of life that will merit that conversation with our Lord? It's an easy question, but a difficult one to answer.
It sure is, and I think it's an important one to address. In today's gospel, we saw the story of the rich young man who came to Jesus, and ultimately he said, well, you know, what do I do to inherit eternal life? What do I do to get to heaven? I'm following the commandments, and Jesus said, well, give up your possessions. Obviously, that was a problem in his life. It's challenging, Randy, we live in a materialistic world. We are told that we need to have things in order to be happy. But ultimately, the source of our happiness, the source of lasting happiness, is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And the older I get, I really have been on this journey for a number of years to simplify my life.
Yeah.
But I find that the more I get rid of things and things that really are in the way of my relationship with Him, the happier I feel. So my wife and I are united in this effort to really get the stuff out of our life that's a distraction and only leave the things that are good for us. And it's a mindset shift, but it's definitely something that's made us happier and more joyful.
I agreed. We're doing the same thing in our life. Randy, it's really great to catch up with you again. It's been a while since we've spoken. I am an admirer of your work for a long time. You are really helping many, many people. Where can our listeners find out more about your information? I think you've written six books now. Is that correct?
Seven.
Seven.
They're
wow.
all on, a few more in the works, but
awesome.
They're all at Amazon, and then all of my Catholic blogging can be found at integratedcatholiclife.org.
integratedcatholiclife.org. We will have all this linked at spiritinthemorning.com. Randy Hayne, my friend, it's always a pleasure to catch up with you. Thanks for joining us this morning.
God bless your minister, Gary. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Randy Hayne, oh, joyful Catholics, where are you? Dave Parker, he makes some really great points. This idea of surrender. Now you're a man. I'm a man. You belong to a men's group. You share with a lot of other men.
Yes.
We don't like to surrender, Dave.
No.
We don't like to admit that we're not in charge.
Exactly.
It's hard for us as men.
Exactly. But our Cabrini, St. Francis Cabrini men's group. I mean, we've been talking about. I mean, that comes up recurringly. We must surrender. We've got to surrender to Jesus. Otherwise, we won't attain or we won't go forward
that's
in our
right.
spiritual life.
That's right.
I mean, that's one of the first things. I love those four points.
They were simple.
Randy.
They
yes.
were simple, but they give us a lot of good advice about
yes.
how it is to be joyful. You can't just force yourself to be joyful, Dave. And I think that's the important thing.
Yeah.
So if, as Randy said, if we are struggling, if we don't feel joy, then we have to look internally and say, okay, what's wrong? And that's where those four points can help us.
Exactly. What are the impediments in my own life that are precluding me from attaining that joy?
That's right. So that's a question for all of us to really address today with ourselves. What is standing in my way? Why am I not joyful? And ultimately, it leads back to how is the relationship between me and Christ? How is that relationship? That's something we all have to work on today.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Mark 6:17, during a gala birthday banquet, the daughter of Herod's sister-in-law turned wife, Herodias, performed a dance that greatly pleased him. He then promised to give her whatever she asked for. Her mother told her to ask for the head of John the Baptist. The king was deeply distressed over this, for he respected John, but he had made the promise. So John's life was terminated over what seems to have been such a mere trifle. His death was a reminder to Jesus that now the preparation for his coming was past, and his own death was drawing near, a death seemingly no less senseless, and yet the event that was to eclipse the grandeur of the very creation of all that is, a death that means eternal life for you and me. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
All right, I am back, and believe it or not, we are completely out of time. Thanks for listening. God bless you, and God willing, we will talk to you tomorrow. The Gary Zimek Show is a Following the Truth production. Our theme music is Sunshine by Kevin MacLeod. It's licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. Find out more by going to incompetech.com. Thanks again for listening. God bless you.